Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio here on the Truth Network, 99.3 FM. And I got Brian in studio and Ron's here. And this is Shane Vanderhart. So,
good morning,
welcome.
Sir.
Good morning, sir. Brian Myers was Twittering his tweeps.
Oh my goodness!
I was doing what?
You're Twittering your tweets, man. I don't know if that's what you say, but hey, I was watching. I was on Twitter. Twitter, if you can follow me at Shane Vanderhart, and that's if you're on Twitter. It's probably the social media network I use the most.
Send your hate mail there, folks.
Right. So mainly because they have short shelf lives. A tweet has a short shelf life, so you can
say that three times fast. That ought to be
that's
good.
Hard to
so
do.
So you can tweet a lot. But anyway, I was just happened to see my feed, just my general feed, and there's a tweet from Brian. So I had to like it and make a comment on it because I never see this. It was amazing.
I don't tweet that often. That's
right.
True.
But if you want to follow Brian, he's at Road Executive. So the at symbol Road Executive. Those of you who are on Twitter, you understand what that means. If you're not on Twitter, don't worry about it. I'm not going to try to convince you of getting a Twitter account if that's not something you do.
You know, I was watching that delightful speech last night by Mrs. Clinton, and I just thought Twitter might be a good platform to, you know, let loose with some steam.
Right. Well, that's why I live tweet speeches all the time or, you know, different debates and things like that. Because it's obnoxious if you do it on Facebook. Because you're really not supposed to post that much on Facebook.
Yeah.
Some people do. I try not. I mean, some people say I post a lot. But really, if I post more than five things during a whole day, that's, you know, that would be a.
So you're not supposed
unusual.
To post that much.
You're not supposed to
you're
post.
You're not supposed to post that much.
No. them's the rules, Brian. You're not supposed to. And I see people do this all the time. They set up their Facebook, so when they tweet, it automatically updates your Facebook status.
Uh-huh.
You're not doing that right. You're not really supposed to. I mean, you can do it. Obviously, there are no set rules. But you're kind of missing the point of Twitter if you're constantly posting stuff on Facebook from Twitter anyway.
So are you saying I shouldn't have done that over at Road Executive?
Do what?
I put the tweets over at the Road Executive page, too.
That's my personal preference. That's.
Are you suggesting that I committed a social media faux pas?
Yes, you did.
I am cut to the quick, Vanderhart.
Yeah.
Again.
Well, hey, last week we said we were going to cover the Democratic National Convention. Calm down.
Notice how he just smoothly moved on, right?
Yes. I know you're all excited about this, but we've, but stay tuned. I think it's important for us to look at what some of the Democrats had to say. We took the whole show and talked about the Republican National Committee, or excuse me, Convention last week. So we wanted to do the same with Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Yeah. Well, normally the DNC is the Democratic National Committee, but for the convention, it's also Democratic National Convention. Isn't that confusing?
Anyway. A lot of cons
to it. Certainly is.
Confusing for me, anyway.
A lot of cons to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we doing here?
So they had their convention. We now have official Democratic nominee. We have an official Republican nominee. The general election now is officially underway. I know we're all excited about this. Not? Anyway, but the Democratic National Convention has shifted even further to the left. The delegates at the convention passed what is... I wouldn't even say arguably. It is the most pro-abortion platform in history. The text they passed on Monday in their platform, it says, "We will support sexual and reproductive health and rights around the globe, in addition to expanding the availability of affordable family planning information and contraceptive supplies. We believe that safe abortion must be part of comprehensive maternal and women's health care." I didn't realize abortion was health care. "And included as part of America's global health programming. Therefore, we support the repeal of harmful restrictions that obstruct women's access to health care information and services."
Those dreadful, harmful restrictions.
No, including the global gag rule and the Helms Amendment that bars American assistance to provide safe, legal abortion throughout the developing world. So here's the thing. You know how this the Democrats used to have the safe, legal, and rare mantra when it came to abortion. Now it's like unsafe anytime you want.
And much as possible.
As much as possible. And we want you to pay for it.
Exactly. That's always the bottom line. After they come up with some horrible thing, they send us the bill. I love these people, don't you?
Right, right. And they are completely out of step with where Americans are at. A good vast majority of Americans do not support taxpayer funding of abortion. And most Columbus of Knights poll was just released this week, and it's, I think it's 72% of Americans polled were against abortion outside of 3 months even. So Democrats are just completely out of touch. So they talk about, you know, Republicans being extreme. No, Democrats are extreme on abortion. And this was just an abortion celebration at the DNC. Ron, can you go ahead and play clip one? This is from Cecile Richards, the CEO and president of Planned Parenthood.
Delightful woman.
Oh, yeah.
Planned Parenthood was founded 100 years ago, giving women the care they need to live their lives and chase their dreams.
The care
no
they
limits,
need.
No ceilings. And a century later, an enormous ceiling is coming down. But this year isn't just about electing the first woman president. It's about electing this woman president. Each year, millions of women, men, and young people trust Planned Parenthood. And the Planned Parenthood Action Fund trusts Hillary Clinton. As First Lady, Hillary declared to the world that women's rights are human rights. She worked with Republicans and Democrats to help create the Children's Health Insurance Program, which now covers 8 million kids. As Secretary of State, she was a champion for women and girls around the globe, and she will always stand up for the right of every woman to access a full range of reproductive health care, including abortion, no matter her economic status.
Okay. Did you catch the applause after that? Her saying abortion, that is the first time the word abortion has been used at the Democratic National Convention.
Wow.
They typically avoid it. They'll skirt around it. They'll use
reproductive rights.
Reproductive rights,
like,
or, you know, women's health care and things like that. They generally avoid using the word abortion. And here Cecile Richards uses it, and everybody's, this is the status of your Democratic Party, folks.
I thought it was rather interesting, too, when she's talking about, you know, Hillary's work as Secretary of State and how she's helped all these women and girls throughout the world.
Right, and First Lady, too, when she was First Lady.
Yeah, but the point is this. She helps them after they're born.
Right.
If they're fortunate enough to survive around the world.
Right. That's a good point. And also, yeah, this is the 100th year. Oh, yes, Margaret Sanger. Let's talk about that. Margaret Sanger formed Planned Parenthood 100 years ago. Why?
Another delightful woman.
Yeah, why? Oh, she wanted to get rid of black people. Oh, that's something Planned Parenthood doesn't talk a lot about. But, yeah, Margaret Sanger was a racist. But, hey, let's not talk about that.
I don't have the quote in front of me, but I saw recently something along those lines. It was supposed to be a quote from Judge Justice Ginsburg.
Huh?
Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. Well, we'll do some digging on that.
Then Elise Hoag of NARAL, Pro Choice America. Also, they changed their name so you wouldn't have to say abortion, as it was something the Abortion League. I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but she shouts the fact that she had an abortion. Anyway, go ahead and play that. Clip two.
I'm sorry. I'm having technical difficulties.
Okay.
I'll get that as soon as I can.
All right. Can we get to any clips?
Yeah.
Okay.
Clips.
That was interesting.
That was part of the technical difficulty.
That was clippage.
All right, let's go ahead and move to Stephanie Schreirock of Emily's List. She had something interesting to say.
You see, women don't just fight for women. They fight for families. They fight for fairness, inclusion, justice. No wonder Republican leaders oppose equal pay for women and refuse to stand up for working mothers trying to balance career and family. That's why they'd let your boss fire you for using birth control and force us to undergo invasive transvaginal ultrasounds. They don't respect women. They don't trust women. They want to control women. They're afraid of the change we bring, the progress we make when we get a chance to lead. And they're terrified of Hillary Clinton.
Well,
she got that part right.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, yes, we are.
All right, help me out here, now, Shane. What on earth is she talking about there earlier in that clip?
She was totally making crap up.
Yeah, I was lost.
Please, somebody, I challenge anybody listening, send me a news article about somebody getting fired because they use birth control. I have never heard of that. I don't know anybody would do that.
You just say this stuff loudly enough and often enough, it somehow is supposed to be a fact.
Right. And this whole transvaginal ultrasound, is she talking about ultrasound, you know, doing ultrasounds?
Ultrasounds aren't invasive.
Right. I don't know what she's talking about there. This is like she's cuckoo for coconuts. Cocoa Puffs. Coconuts, too.
Coconuts, too.
Indeed. I like coconuts. Anyway.
We are in rare form here, ladies and gentlemen.
I have not had enough coffee, evidently. We can't let the segment go by and not talk about basically the big news of the week is all the booing that took place on day one. Obviously, you all should probably be aware of WikiLeaks released a ton of Democratic National Committee emails, basically that showed that they were kind of in the tank for Hillary. So that led to the resignation of one of my favorite people, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I'm going to miss seeing her at the Iowa State Fair when they did soapbox. No, I'm serious. She was very entertaining to watch. Anyway, she was, I don't have the clip, but she was booed off the, she did not speak at the convention. She spoke to Florida delegates and they booed her off stage. I have a feeling this woman's going to have a hard time being reelected. I really do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she resigned. Congresswoman Marsha Fudge of Ohio opened the convention. And anyway, it was kind of interesting. Let's go ahead and play clip four if we can. Hopefully we can.
Yeah.
And that is why we are going to have a different kind of convention than the one we saw in Cleveland last week.
Some cheers.
Because Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine want to build an economy that works for everyone, not just the people at the top.
All those Bernie supporters love Tim Kaine, don't they?
An economy where everyone pays their fair share. An economy where if you work hard, you can get ahead and stay ahead. Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine want to bring steady and stable leadership to the world.
Okay, we can go ahead and move on.
They'll work
Now, it got so bad they even booed during the opening invocation. Clip 5.
O God, to give undeniable evidence of our commitment to justice and equality by nominating Hillary Rodham Clinton as our candidate. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, huh?
Okay. Obviously, her prayer was, well, you know, we went after the one guy last week.
Yeah, this was easily as bad.
It was just, probably, yeah, I would say a lot of the invocations given were just as bad at the Democratic National Convention. But the fact, okay, what does this say about the delegates? You're supposed to be praying and you're cheering and booing instead. Just, yeah, folks, what's appropriate, what's not? That's not appropriate.
Maybe they're charismatics.
Hey, charismatics
hey,
do
hey,
that?
Hey, look, there's nothing wrong with booing and making noise and carrying on if you don't believe in God anyway.
There you go.
We'll just leave that right there.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And then, yeah, enough time we can, even Bernie Sanders was booed. Clip 6.
We have got to defeat Donald Trump.
We don't have enough time. Oh, well. Then boo. Well, they cheer. Then boo. It was exciting.
And we have got to elect Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029 and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So, back to the convention. Brian, you had some thoughts about the unity that we were seeing in the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah, Tom Brokaw was on after the convention on NBC and he was making the case that the Republican Party is horribly fractured.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's analysis that we can buy into.
Right.
But then he said that the Democratic Party was leaving the convention unified. And I just thought to myself, have you been watching the same convention that we have?
The only time I could actually agree, the only aspect of that I could agree with is that Hillary was not booed.
Well, the way I understand it, there's some stuff that was posted by Conservative Review. The way I understand it, that there was some booing, there was some.
Oh, and they had Hillary chants, yeah.
And there was a lot of things that were creatively glossed over. But look, at the end of the day,
she wasn't booed as much.
Well, okay, I'll grant that. Maybe Dave Price from Channel 13 here in Des Moines was talking on Facebook a couple of different times about, you know, the different examples that he was seeing of protesting. And you know, at one point, I think he even asked the question, is it appropriate to do at some of the times it was being done? So he was observing things. certainly, that showed a lot of disunity and protesting. And, you know, for Brokaw to just say, oh, you know, this is a unified party that's leaving this convention.
Right.
I mean, it's fantasy.
It is. It is. I mean, they were booing all throughout the first day, and I think even in the second. And they were, it was hard for some speakers to actually get through their speeches. I mean, it was bad. Any mention of Hillary Clinton, boo. And you know what? I understand why Bernie supporters feel that way. Because those emails that were leaked, it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's really bad.
And a lot of those guys all along knew that there was something going on.
Right. I mean, I always thought they were in the tank for Hillary, and I'm a DNC outsider. Mm-hmm. So just from the debate schedule, that made me think that favored Hillary Clinton, not Bernie Sanders or Martin O'Malley when he was still in. Want to play some additional speech clips before next segment. We'll get into some of what Hillary Clinton had to say. Michelle Obama gave a speech, and actually it was pretty effective. It was a good speech, but she said something that I wanted to point out here. Clip 7.
With every word we utter, with every action we take, we know our kids are watching us. We as parents are their most important role models. And let me tell you, Barack and I take that same approach to our jobs as president and first lady, because we know that our words and actions matter, not just to our girls, but to children across this country. Kids who tell us, I saw you on TV, I wrote a report on you for school. Kids like the little black boy who looked up at my husband, his eyes wide with hope, and he wondered, is my hair like yours? And make no mistake about it, this November, when we go to the polls, that is what we're deciding. Not Democrat or Republican, not left or right. No, in this election and every election is about who will have the power to shape our children for the next 4 or 8 years of their lives.
And regardless of who wins, that scares me.
Absolutely. Yep.
But she's right. I mean, kids are going to be watching. And this is why character matters, folks. This is why character has to be important. I also want to play, we got time. I think we're going to skip over Bubba just because I don't think his speech was as compelling. U.S. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey. He was on the vice presidential short list. I think he's an up-and-coming star. He actually gave a pretty good speech. Go ahead and play clip 8.
240 years ago, an English king said he would crush our rebellion. But Americans from around our nation joined the fight. From Bunker Hill to the Battle of Trenton, they stood. And so many fell, giving their lives in support of our daring declaration that America, we will rise. This is our history. This is our history. Escaped slaves, knowing that liberty is not secure for some until it's secure for all. Sometimes hungry, often hunted, in dark woods and deep swamps, they looked up to the North Star and said with a determined whisper, America, we will rise. Immigrants risking their lives in times of sweatshops and child labors. They organized labor unions and devoted themselves to lifting the tired, the poor, and the huddled masses. With fierceness of grit, they shouted so all could hear, America, we will rise. King pointed to the mountaintop. Kennedy pointed to the moon. From Seneca Falls to those who stood at Stonewall Inn, giants before us said in a chorus of conviction, America, we will rise. My fellow Americans, we cannot fall into the complacency or indifference about this election, because still the only thing necessary for evil to be triumphant is for good people to do nothing. You know the saying. My fellow Americans, we cannot be seduced by cynicism about our politics. because cynicism is a refuge for cowards. And this nation is and must always be the home of the
brave. Sorry, I didn't realize I cut that off.
That was an interesting speech. I mean, in the beginning, he's mentioning history that the left hates.
Yep.
I thought that was interesting. He got better, though. He started going leftward fairly quickly.
He was talking about Martin. There was nothing in there I would object to.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Conservative.
He was talking about, let's see here. Stonewall.
Okay, that I didn't catch.
I got to think about it, but
the reference didn't click with me.
And I thought it was interesting, too, that he quotes Edmund Burke, the great conservative philosopher.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting quote.
The thing that kind of caught me with the speech was that it was inspiring. You know?
No, it was a good. It was a good oration.
Right. Not saying it had substance. We could have played his entire speech, and I know he had some digs at Donald Trump, and Donald Trump tweeted at him saying, "You know, I know you better than you know yourself." In which I saw an interview with Cory Booker afterwards. He said, "Donald, I love you, man." So.
Well, I think this guy is a talented politician.
He is.
We haven't seen the last of him,
nope.
No question.
Nope, definitely not. Let's see. Well, we have time for Bubba and for Barack. So let's play Bill Clinton's clip here, clip 9.
How does this square? How does this square with the things that you heard at the Republican convention? What's the difference in what I told you and what they said? How do you square it? You can't. One is real. The other is made up. And you just have to decide. You just have to decide. Which is which, my fellow American?
Okay.
The real one had done more positive change making.
Yeah, we'll decide. So, yeah, just forget that she, lied about emails. Forget that she perjured herself in front of Congress. Clinton was there to try. His speech, I think, was actually utterly ineffective because his goal was to humanize his wife. Think about that. To make her feel seem like she's more of a human. Maybe mission accomplished, I don't know. But I think Bill Clinton would have been, President Clinton would have been a much better attack dog on Donald Trump. If they were going to use him effectively, I think that's how, if I were the one, putting that together, that's the role I would have asked him to be.
I don't know how much of his speech that you caught, but there was this whole narrative of the love story and
right.
All that.
And yes, and I could have played. There. I was I decided not to play that just because I didn't want to vomit in my mouth. But yeah, just total just let's rewrite history here, and yes, they had the American love story. I'm shocked that they're still married. They're probably only still married because of political expediency and convenience.
You think?
I'm pretty certain about that.
It may be time to move on to our beloved president.
Yes, I think so. And he said something fairly interesting.
You know, nothing truly prepares you for the demands of the Oval Office. You can read about it, you can study it, but until you've sat at that desk, you don't know what it's like to manage a global crisis or send young people to war.
Especially ones that you've caused.
But Hillary's been in the room. She's been part of those decisions. She knows what's at stake in the decisions our government makes. What's at stake for the working family, for the senior citizen, for the small business owner, for the soldier, for the veteran. And even in the midst of crisis, she listens to people and she keeps her cool and she treats everybody with respect. And no matter how daunting the odds, no matter how much people try to knock her down, she never, ever quits.
He's right about that.
That is the Hillary I
know. Unfortunately,
yeah.
That's the Hillary I've come to admire. And that's why I can say with confidence, there has never been a man or a woman, not me, not Bill, nobody, more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as President of the United States of America.
We could probably
wait for it.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of, what is that?
I hope you don't mind, Bill, but I was just telling the truth, man.
Just telling the truth. Okay. More qualified than President Obama when he ran for office? Yes. I will give him that. More qualified than Bill Clinton? Nope. Bill Clinton was a two-term governor.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan, two-term governor from California.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a whole slew of presidential candidates far more qualified
than Hillary Clinton. And we have to define what the word qualified means.
Absolutely.
Does qualified also include character? Does it include truthfulness?
Yep. Does it include the ability to, you know, be qualified to get a security clearance back? I would think so. Is she more qualified than Donald Trump? Well, that's going to be the debate. That's going to probably be what the case the Clinton camp is going to have to make, because right now he's got a bump coming out of the RNC. He seems to have some momentum. And I think their best chance of beating him is to disqualify him. And that's what they're going to be doing.
Forgive me, but that seems like a rather easy proposition.
I know. It is. But that's probably the tactic they're going to have to take. I mean, because, you know, certainly, well, it's a weird general election. Let's just say that. And we'll be interested. It'll be interesting to see what kind of a bump she gets after the DNC is all wrapped up. We'll know that next week. Stay tuned. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. It was brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. We are back discussing the Democratic National Convention. I know you're all excited about this. We're almost done.
That's what they're excited about.
Exactly.
We're almost done.
Yes. We had. I wanted to play a clip from Senator Tim Kaine, who's Hillary Clinton's running mate now. He's asking, he's a senator from Virginia, do you trust Donald Trump? It's clip 11.
Hey, do y'all remember Carla, the little girl that we heard from on Monday night?
No.
Who was worried that her parents would be deported? Carla said she trusts Hillary to keep them together. And do you remember the mothers of the movement last night?
No.
They said they trust Hillary to keep other mothers' sons and daughters safe. And on a personal level, as
you mean like the Benghazi
four? Abroad, I trust Hillary Clinton with our son's life. Now, you know who I don't trust?
I wonder who that could be.
I wonder.
Bernie?
Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Trump is a guy who promises a lot, but you might have noticed he's got a way of saying the same two words every time he makes his biggest, hugest promises. Believe me. It's going to be great. Believe me. We're going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. Believe me. We're going to destroy ISIS so fast. Believe me. There's nothing suspicious in my tax returns. Believe me.
That was pretty good, buddy.
That was good. I've heard better. So don't quit your day. Well, actually do quit your day job. That'd be awesome. And again, this is just a taste of, you know, obviously RNC's got stuff. They're going to be throwing at Hillary Clinton, but this trustworthiness.
Oh,
how in the both world? Both of them struggle with this.
Yeah. To say the least.
Yeah. Probably one of the more powerful speeches of the last night of the convention was Khazir Khan, who's the father of a fallen American Muslim army officer. His son died in Iraq. Anyway, he goes after Donald Trump.
What? Donald Trump, you're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy. In this document, Look for the words liberty and equal protection of law. Have you ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Go look at the graves of brave patriots who died defending United States of America. You will see all faiths, genders, and ethnicities. You have sacrificed nothing and no one.
That was a very powerful speech. Now, I'd submit that when he said that about Donald Trump with the Constitution, of course he probably hasn't. But then again, I'd say most of the speakers of the Democratic National Convention haven't read it either. And most of the people cheering wildly haven't read it.
That's almost a virtual certainty.
Or they wouldn't be behind a lot of the policies that they're behind. If they read it, understood it, and put it into practice, that is.
Yeah.
This is going to be a trouble spot for Donald Trump. And I've been on the record saying what things that he said about Muslims are blatantly unconstitutional. They're non-starters, and you know, this is, he's gone down a path. It's going to be hard to unring that bell. Got to get to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton accepts the nomination. Let's go and play clip 13.
Stronger together is not just a lesson from our history. It's not just a slogan for our campaign. It's a guiding principle for the country we've always been and the future we're going to build. A country where the economy works for everyone, not just those at the top. Where you can get a good job and send your kids to a good school, no matter what zip code you live in. A country where all our children can dream and those dreams are within reach. Where families are strong, communities are safe, and yes, where love trumps hate. For, that's the future we're working toward. And so, my friends, it is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
You know, I said got on, you know, started recording that this was an effective speech. She pandered to all the right people. She made nice with Bernie Sanders supporters. You contrast the speech, and if you take ideology out of it, okay, just completely, it was, well, she's not the best speaker. It was well delivered, however. You compare the tone of Donald Trump's speech to Hillary Clinton's speech. And I have to say, hers was a lot more positive. She got into a lot more policy detail than he did.
Well,
I know.
When has Trump ever gone into policy
detail? I know, but I think this is going to continue. These are things that are going to continue to be a problem for him.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
You know, if ideology did not matter to me, and it does, I mean, obviously, I'm not voting for either one of them. So, but if I were an independent voter who's saying I'm going to choose one or the other based on the convention night speeches, if I didn't care about ideology and issues, I said I like Hillary Clinton better than I like Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, unfortunately, he's going to be running into. Now, both right now have high disapproval ratings, but it is going to come back. It's going to come, you know, the independent voter. They're the ones that are going to be deciding this thing. And I've
They will be if the turnout model stays the way it was prior to 2008.
Right now, Hillary Clinton, the main thing she needs to do is basically just maintain Obama's base. Well, and if she does that, she's going to be in good shape.
And to your earlier point about policy substance, I've been hearing people think that Donald Trump is going to destroy her in the debates. I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
Because say what you want about this woman, she understands policy and she'll be able to articulate it. And right. He'll be up there saying you're stupid, fat, and ugly, and what about Benghazi? I don't know how much good that's going to do.
Benghazi didn't really burn Obama either. So this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone,
Uptown, down home, American kids. Trying to fix your problems with the same failed solutions over and again, expecting different results? You know that you need help, but it seems people keep being part of the problem. Where do you turn? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. The reality is that we do live in a broken world with people that stumble and sin in many ways. To whom can we trust the intricacies of our broken lives? Can other broken people be trusted to fix us? Or are we simply asking the blind to lead the blind? Counseling based upon the authoritative Word of God sets the source of recovery outside of this broken cycle. Yes, broken, fallible, and unfaithful people can actually help others if they are tethered to the solid, unmovable standard of God's Word. For compassionate help based on the Scriptures, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Shane Vanderhart and Brian Myers. And before we get into our normal silliness of the fourth segment of the show, folks, I wanted to let you all know that off the air, Shane Vanderhart made the most incredible confession.
And here you're going to blab it all over radio.
Shane Vanderhart, Mr. Never Trump himself, suggested to us earlier that having watched the dreadful spectacle of the DNC convention, that he was prepared almost to go over to the dark side and support Donald Trump.
Vote, yeah. And it would be a quiet vote. Almost being the key word. Then I just have to, all I have to do is play back his speech and I remember, then I'll remember why I'm not going to support him.
We need some Star Wars music going on.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Dumb, dumb, dumb. That would be really dumb.
Copyright, you know.
And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Actually, we just did. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
Okay, Shane has got a couple of clips here about the Donald. I will let him introduce.
Yeah, basically, okay, and... Really, anything we talked about today, we could put in the segment. So, but we can't leave the Donald alone. We couldn't go a whole show without, you know, mentioning him. Well, we've been talking about him a little bit by proxy, but he has this amazing ability to get off message. Let's play clip 15.
The things that were said about me
during the DNC.
I mean, should I go through some of the names?
Do it. Yeah.
You know what? I wanted to hit a couple of those speakers so hard. I would have hit them. No. I was going to hit them, so I was all set. And then I got a call from a highly respected governor. How's it going, Donald? I said, well, it's going good, but they're really saying bad things about me. I'm going to hit them so hard. I was going to hit one guy in particular, a very little guy. I was going to hit this guy so hard, his head would spin. He wouldn't know what the hell happened. And he came out of nowhere. He came out of nowhere. They make deals with me. Would you help me with this? Would you make this deal and solve the problem? I solve the problem. I do a great job. I was going to hit a number of those speakers so hard, their heads would spin. They'd never recover. And that's what I did with a lot of... That's why I still don't have certain people endorsing me. They still haven't recovered, okay?
You know? There's some truth to that. he's obviously talking about rhetorical hitting, but that's not... You know, everybody's going, oh, he just threatened DNC speakers.
Mm. Well, look, this guy is a rhetorical train wreck.
He is. And it's just built... This just adds to his bully reputation.
Feeds into the narrative.
Right. But also, he could have been... hitting Hillary on policy. There's a lot of things he could have been saying.
Well, and we didn't even bring up the whole business of him making that joke about having Russia find the missing emails.
Oh, I know. I could have gotten... I got it. It was funny, but it didn't come across funny the way he said it. And it's like, you know, again, there's a lot of things you could have been saying, and now everybody's talking about that and not talking about your economic message.
Of course, on the other hand, this is Donald Trump. I predict that it'll be gone out of the news cycle fairly soon, and we'll be on to the next crazy thing.
Well, he says crazy things often enough where they do have to move on.
We got time for the second clip.
Yep. Speaking of crazy.
The minimum wage has to go up. People are at least $10, but it has to go up. But I think that states, federal, I think that states...
So... that could actually damage him because he said before in the debates, I'm not raising it. Anyway, we don't have time to opine about that.
Except to say it was a terrible idea.
Yep, absolutely. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Take care.